So what we're going to be listening to is we're going to be listening to two segments from a recently aired episode of Joyce Meyer's television program, Enjoying Everyday Life. And she's invited her friend Beth Moore on to talk to her and have a conversation about unity in the body of Christ. But where they begin is a very important thing because there's two segments. The second segment specifically deals with the body of Christ and unity within it. But the first segment sets the foundation, the premise, if you would. And as a result of it, if you buy the premise, similar to Rick Warren, then you're going to end up swallowing the hook with the bait on it because the first portion of it is the bait and it's hiding the hook. So here's Joyce Meyer to introduce Beth Moore. And like I said, they're going to be having a conversation about unity, but it begins in a weird place. Here we go.
Well, Beth, it's so good to have you here today. We've been working on this a while, haven't we?
It's certainly overdue, isn't it, Joyce? I'm looking at you and thinking how surreal this moment is. I am so honored to be sitting here with you.
Well, I'm very happy to have you here. You're a great woman of God and helping a lot of people. And I think today we're going to talk about something that is just, I believe, really, really, really important. That's unity and how we can get along better. I think sometimes when you throw the word unity.
Now, when we talk about unity, if we're going to talk about biblical unity, the question is, what does the Bible reveal about who we should be united with? Should we be united with people who are claiming to have prophetic direct revelations from God, like Beth Moore and Joyce Meyer? Should we be having unity with people like Joyce Meyer, who says that we're little gods? Should we have unity with people like Joyce Meyer who teach the word of faith heresy, that your words create reality and things like that? Should we, as Christians, have unity with somebody like that? Well, I find it interesting that Beth Moore is there to talk about unity with somebody who we probably as Christians should have no unity with, but should be calling to repent and to be forgiven for her false doctrine and stop supporting her ministry financially so that it goes off the air, because what she's spreading in the name of Christ is false doctrine rather than biblical Christianity. So there's Beth Moore. It's all about unity, and Beth Moore has united with Joyce Meyer, which should tell you something about Beth Moore. We continue.
Out, it's kind of like over everybody's head. You know, we need to have peace.
A little peace would go a long way.
And
so we need to have peace. We need peace. And so this is the setup. We continue.
Here's a quick story, and then I want to get your thoughts. When I first started my ministry, God dealt with me about several things. He said, if you'll do these things, then I can really bless you.
Yes.
And one of the things that God really put on my heart was, you got to keep the strife out of your life.
How come God didn't tell you to apply the four resolutions that Moses applied to his life? See, notice, right here in this program about Christian unity, Joyce Meyer is saying, oh, God said to me, if I'm going to use you, you've got to get the strife out of your life. We continue.
Marriage, out of your ministry.
Yes.
Work to keep the strife out of your life. And I've discovered that Jesus works in an atmosphere of peace.
Yes.
Not turmoil and anger. And so
I've discovered that Jesus works in an atmosphere of peace, not whatever, right? Where did she discover that truth? Did she discover it in Scripture? No. She discovered this from her life experiences and God speaking directly to her. But there is no biblical text that says Jesus only works in atmospheres of peace. That's a completely different doctrine altogether than anything revealed in Scripture.
What have you discovered along these lines in your walk with God?
Yeah, what have you discovered in your walk? Tell me your theology based upon your experience, not what God's word says, but your experience. And see, the thing is that this conversation, without me stopping and pointing this out along the way, if you were to just listen to it cold, you'd go, it sounds kind of truthy, but see, the thing is, it's not. Because this is a theology based on your experience, not the Word of God.
Well, that journey has been so volatile for Keith and I because we brought so much strife into one home. We were both in love with other people, committed to other people, probably on our way to the altar with other people when we met. And somehow that chemistry came between the two of us, and we became so infatuated with one another. But what we did not work through was that we could not have been more different had we tried.
Yeah.
And that we were also bringing a ton of baggage into the same home. Honestly, Joyce, it was like I looked across my campus at college and thought, who on this campus is as messed up as me? And I found him, and we came together and brought that all under one roof. So we certainly...
Now notice, this story, I mean, marriage is difficult, and anybody who's married or been in a long-term relationship knows the challenges and the strife and the difficulties and, the ups and downs and upheavals of a long-term relationship, like a marriage. So now they're talking, not only doing theology from their experience, but they're talking about theology from, experiences that many of us can sit there and go, yeah, I know exactly what she's talking about. I've had similar experiences. But this is not where we get our theology from. And remember, this is in the context of them wanting to talk about unity in the body of Christ. They're setting the table to have that discussion by doing this, basically talking about theology that they've learned through their life experiences, not from a biblical text.
Lesson in strife. And it was the same thing where God just continued to press on us. Peace. There must be peace in this home, or there's not going to be an atmosphere that the Holy Spirit can fill right here in this domestic place under this roof.
There must be peace, or the Holy Spirit can't fill this atmosphere.
It's been very helpful to me, and I share this all the time, is a scripture that says you're to pursue peace.
Yes.
And it's actually in a couple places in the Bible, in the Amplified.
Yeah, Psalm 34:14. But she's not exegeting this text. She's just making reference to it. Let me pull it up real quick. Psalm 34:14 says this out of context. Turn away from evil people and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Yeah, uh-huh. So notice this is in the context of turning away from evil and doing good, seeking peace and pursuing it, not having unity with evil. We continue.
Well, pursue peace, go after it. And I think a lot of times we just want to pray for peace.
Yes.
Instead of doing what we need to do to have peace. And I came to a point in my life where, I mean, I had lived in turmoil as long as I could remember because I grew up in turmoil.
Yes.
And brought that into my marriage. Now, my husband is extremely peaceful. I mean, he's peaceful to the point of being annoying sometimes. He's so peaceful. But it's like, can't you just throw one good fit just to let me know that I'm not the only person in the world that does this? But I had to learn that I had to change a lot of things in my approach to life if I wanted to have peace. We always want people to change and life to change, but usually we have to change. Maybe what are some of the things that God showed you personally that you needed to do?
You know, I wanted to be a peacekeeper. I mean, I just keep the peace. But the irony was, as the scripture says, there was no peace to keep. And you know where we might have something that fits together and complements one another, Joyce? I did not have an outward kind of strife in my personality type. I was more inward with it. I would be in turmoil inside my heart. My husband would be more out with what he felt and out with what he thought. And so pulling this together, one of the things he really taught me to do in a safe place was be able to speak up when something was just in crisis within me because I didn't want anybody to know. So I was trying to keep a peace that wasn't even there.
Man, I didn't have any trouble speaking up.
I really, really did. And my parents would tell me that it was even true when I was a child. I would keep everything to myself and wanted everything to be okay, everybody to like me, everybody to get along. And the fact is, we weren't getting along. So to find a safe place, to know that part of peace is sitting down and being able to reason together, to talk it out, and to talk about your differences. To me, if you had a difference, that meant you did not have peace. That's not true.
Yeah.
That's not true. We come together in our differences, and there we find a peace that only he can bring and a harmony that only he can bring. And that was, I guess, the biggest lesson. Honestly, we're talking about something today, Joyce, that could not have been bigger for Keith and I, because we just tangled over and over again. And I've said so many times, we Moors feel passionately about everything. And so we bring that into the same household, and it was quite a challenge. But God has brought us through so much and taught us that same lesson, that that is not going to be an atmosphere that he can work in if we're going to constantly be in some kind of turmoil.
All right. So there, the recurring theme as you listen to that was them saying the Holy Spirit cannot work in an atmosphere where there is turmoil. Well, both Joyce Meyer and Beth Moore have come under fire for their Bible twisting, their claims of receiving direct revelation. And Joyce Meyer is no, she's not green when it comes to controversy, because, I mean, right out of the chute, her teaching ministry has been flavored by and totally influenced by the Word of Faith heresy, including the doctrine that we're little gods. And so, now they've got to, in a way, kind of shore up the people in their audience to make sure that they're not, losing confidence in Beth Moore and Joyce Meyer. So the recurring theme is the Holy Spirit can't work in an atmosphere where there's turmoil. We learn this through our lives and what God has revealed to us directly. And now what implications does this have regarding Christian unity and criticizing and critiquing the theology of both of these people? Well, let's go back to Joyce Meyer and Beth Moore as they discuss this topic specifically.
Welcome back. I'm talking with Bible teacher Beth Moore about the importance of unity. Well, Beth, we had a good start in the first half of the program talking about how to get along in our families and with our children, and particularly in marriages. But I'd like to take it in a little different direction now and talk about something that I think is a great, tremendous need in the world today. And that is how we can have more unity across the board in the body of Christ. I mean, even unity within a church, because I've been involved in several churches that were full of strife just within that one church. But then even across the board, so many different little beliefs about different things that divide us. And it's just not God's will. And it's shutting down the power of what God wants to do.
Okay, so you catch that. All of this talk about doctrine, it's dividing us, and thereby it's creating a situation where there's strife in the body of Christ. And you know what that's doing? It's shutting down what the Holy Spirit wants to do. Okay, now let me bring a biblical text into bear here. This is one I refer to often. You can find this in Titus chapter 1, and Paul, writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes to Titus. Now, remember, all Scripture is God-breathed. This is a God-breathed portion of Scripture. God the Holy Spirit is the one speaking here, not just the Apostle Paul. And this is one of the pastoral epistles. Here's what it says. Paul writes to Titus. He says, "This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remained in order and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination, for an overseer as God's steward must be above reproach." Now notice, this text makes it clear that pastors are to be men. Husband of but one wife, he must be above reproach. This is what the Holy Spirit says. This will come into play in a second. Okay? He must not be arrogant, quick-tempered, or a drunkard, or violent, or greedy for gain. But he must be hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firmly to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and rebuke those who contradict it. Notice, God the Holy Spirit makes it clear when somebody is teaching what is contrary to sound doctrine that they are to be rebuked. Let me continue. "For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. Now one of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, 'Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, and lazy gluttons.' This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, so that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth." So this is what God the Holy Spirit says to do. Does this sound like it could potentially create an atmosphere of strife? An atmosphere of disunity? Of course. Because Scripture makes it clear we're not to be united with those who teach false doctrine. Instead, we're to rebuke them. Even the Apostle Paul goes on in Galatians to give the sharpest rebuke of all to those who teach a false gospel. Paul, writing to the churches in Galatia, writes, he says, "I'm astonished that you're so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we preach to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed." The word there for accursed in the ESV is anathema. It means to be damned. Huh. Sounds like the Apostle Paul created atmospheres of strife. Should we come to the conclusion then that God the Holy Spirit wasn't working in this epistle to the Galatians? And the reason I put it out there is because what Joyce Meyer and Beth Moore did is set up a false doctrine based upon a theology of their experience that basically comes to this conclusion. You know, this doctrine teaches that God the Holy Spirit cannot work in an atmosphere of strife. And now they're calling, we need to have unity in the body of Christ. You need to stop critiquing Joyce Meyer and Beth Moore. We continue. Yes, but Scripture makes it clear we cannot be united with those teaching false doctrine. We have to rebuke them. Weird. All of this is based upon a theology from their own experience.
Reason in the body of Christ that this is not the will of God.
Yeah, it's really unbelievable. I was thinking, and I thought this was a really good thought. I've been thinking about this a lot and thinking about teaching a little more. And, you know, it just grieves me that people have so many opinions about things they don't even know anything about. You know, it's like people can have an opinion about me or you, and yet they don't know me at all. They've never asked me a question. They've heard something.
Yeah, well, that's one of the reasons why I play what you say in context, Joyce, so that when we don't have to have a conversation with you. You say what you mean and mean what you say, and we just kind of take it at face value and then examine what the statements you're making in regards to what God's Word says and compare it to what God's Word says in context. It's not like, you know, that the critiques we do here at Fighting for the Faith are not based in truth or based on anything you've said. In fact, I take great pains to make sure that we play you in context so that people can rightly hear what you believe, what you teach, and what you emphasize in your teachings to see if it actually squares with what God's Word says. Weird, huh?
It is totally uninformed, and then they'll pass that from person to person. But I was thinking about my relationship with God, and I thought, you know, I seriously doubt that God agrees with me about everything. But yet we have a great relationship.
Yes.
And so
yes.
If you can just take that.
Yeah, I seriously doubt God agrees with everything I say, but we have a great relationship, so it's okay for me to teach false doctrine. Again, this is a theology based upon personal experience.
And say, my goodness, how far off am I from being exactly the way God would like me to be, and yet he loves us unconditionally. Yeah, you know, it's like, and I think just to talk about it openly, you come from one kind of background, I come
yes.
from another. You've been very involved and still are in the Baptist church, and I could have very easily been a Baptist. My aunt was Baptist. I went to many Baptist
yes.
church services. I just happened to marry a man that was a Lutheran, and so I was involved in the Lutheran church for a long time. And if you would ask me today what I am...
She's not a Lutheran anymore.
You know, I'm not going to tell you any certain denomination because... To be honest, I just love Jesus and I love the Word and, you know, I believe all of it. And I could not sit here right now and tell you that I even know if you and I agree about every little fine point of our doctrines. But I can say that I agree with your spirit. I agree with your heart.
Beth, do you agree that we're little gods? That's what Joyce Meyer teaches. Do you agree that that our words create reality? That's what she says. She teaches the word of faith heresy. Do you believe the word of faith heresy, Beth Moore, and that it doesn't matter? I mean, she said, I'm sure we don't agree on all these little fine points of doctrine. You know, doctrine, schmoctrine, unity is the important thing. But, you know, I agree with the spirit in you. Is this what God's word teaches regarding unity? And the funny thing is that, you know, if you're not going to base unity on what scripture says, you're going to listen to this and say, yeah, what these people are saying sounds reasonable, but it's not biblical at all.
I agree with everything that you're teaching and doing in the body of Christ. And it just hurts me that people have to argue and hurt the heart of God over things that really just don't make any sense. And
so arguing hurts the heart of God. Yet God, the Holy Spirit, tells the Apostle Paul to rebuke those who teach false doctrine. And that's what both of these ladies have been doing, teaching false doctrine in the body of Christ. And then so here's the tears. And again, this sounds so reasonable. It just sounds so truthy. But the problem is it's not based upon what the Bible teaches regarding what is Christian unity and how Christians cannot be united when it comes to those who are teaching false doctrine, false Christ, false gospel, and things of that nature. So, you know, so these two powerhouses came together in a plea for that there to be just stop quibbling over doctrine. And this hurts the heart of God because God, the Holy Spirit, cannot work in an atmosphere of strife, they say. And yet that very claim that they made is, in fact, false doctrine.